Stand by for action.
Okay, this is a odd episode. Tom, do you want to do an introduction?
Sure. I mean, we already started the introduction?
We started, sure.
We already started without me?
But again,
I do the introductions, man. Don't be stepping on me.
Hey.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
This is an unusual one. Because we are sitting in my dining room.
Yes. The rare live, as we call it, episode, even though it'll be dead by the time you guys hear it.
Indeed. Because Tom is in town. Ow! Hey! Buddy, back off. Tom, why are you in town? Thomas. Oh, hello.
We're here to see the Bouncing Souls. We saw him last night. We're going to go see him again tonight. Neil's cat is very aggressive.
I think
the groceries are here, too.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, this is going right downhill fast.
Hello. Henry won't leave us alone.
How's it going?
Hi.
Neil's got these devil cats. For those of you who don't know, they're called Sphinx.
Sphinx, yeah.
The one is a male, and it's very friendly. It's got black splotches on it, two different colors eyes.
Henry.
His name is Henry. He has empty ball bags in the back of his butt that he likes to stick in my face. And he's very friendly, but like much like his owner, he doesn't really ask for consent. He just goes for it. But he's a real friendly chap. But if you haven't seen these Sphinx cats, they kind of look like... You ever see like a newborn mouse where they're still pink and sort of vulnerable looking? That's what they look like. They're sort of grotesque, but this one's very friendly and
They're all super friendly. Actually, that's one of the things about them I like so much. Like their character, it's so different from regular cats.
That's why they cost as much as a real pet, like a dog.
Okay, I don't know if this is recording correctly because my voice appears to be very low. Let me flip something over here.
No, there you go. Start playing.
See if this is any better. Hello, hello, hello.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Now I'm spiking. No, I think it's good. Okay, maybe there's no difference there.
Hmm.
Do you know what the difference is? There's an 8?
Neil, these are things we work out before we start recording.
There's an 8. Yeah, but we don't often do it live. We don't do it live very often, so
I guess.
It's unusual. Anyway.
Making us look like the amateurs we are.
Yes. Well, anyway, so Tom is in town for 2 nights of Bouncing Souls.
Yes.
At Bottom Lounge in Chicago.
Yes.
And it's been an unusual week for both of us because it was like nothing in 2024 really so far. But all of a sudden, I had 3 gigs in 4 nights, and Tom's got 4 gigs in 4 nights.
Four nights, yeah.
Actually, it was almost 5 in 4 nights, right? Because he went to 2 last night, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of.
So, so that's what the show is going to be. It's going to be us doing it live, A, because we're here and we can, and B. Oh, yeah, to talk about some of the shows that we were at.
It's almost certainly going to end up having to be 2 parts.
Yes.
Because you've gone to so many and I've gone to so many. So we're going to kind of focus on Neil's parts today.
Because my parts. Don't look at my parts, please.
Exactly. His cat's parts are in my face.
Well, luckily he's eating now, so he's tied up with something.
Oh, good. At least his ass will stink when he puts it back in my face.
And he does have a leaky backside, yes.
Once again, like his owner.
That's an added bonus. Yes. Anyway... It is a bit hot in here, honey. Yes, if you could.
I don't know how the fan's gonna react to the microphone, but
yeah, don't put the fan on. Just open the window.
Oh, there you go.
Let's hope the neighbors don't start having a party.
You should put the fan on, and I'll sing into the fan like rah, 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 like when you're a kid and you're talking to the fan. Makes that cool sound.
Look at Henry's all excited. Okay, so
beautiful view of the building next door here, the brick building next door.
So my gig started on Thursday. Twin Temple. I don't know how many people are familiar with Twin Temple. But they were playing Thursday night at the Metro. And this is a band that actually someone from our podcast group turned me on to a couple of years ago.
Who's that? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Huh.
I apologize to whoever it was. Maybe it was J.D. Day or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Or it could have been Ricky or one of the folks.
Yeah, because there's definitely not... It's not punk music by any stretch of the imagination, but it's...
Twin Temple lists themselves as a satanic doo-wop, right? Which is But I wouldn't say it's Satanic doo-wop. I would say it's more like, imagine Amy Winehouse's Back to Black album. That almost like a 60s girl group kind of sound.
Yeah, that's a vibe I got. Like, yeah. The stuff my mom listened to, she's getting the Crystals and the...
Yeah, the Crystals and the Ronettes, right?
Yeah, Diana Ross and the Supremes. Yeah. So songs about boning the devil and so on.
So musically, it's very much like that, but all the songs, the lyrical content is all about... being a Satanist and that kind of thing.
But it's hard to take too seriously, right?
I think it's very tongue-in-cheek, yeah. And they've captured a very interesting market, actually, which we'll get
that's
into
a
minute.
Very generous way to describe their audience, Neil.
Exactly. So anyway, so they were playing at the Metro, and I didn't know what it was going to be, and I've been thinking of going for a while, but the thing that put it over the top for me, I drove down to the Metro box office a couple of weeks ago because I wanted to get Stiff Little Fingers tickets, but I didn't want to pay the exorbitant fees, right? Because it's like a $40 ticket, but it was like $60 with fees. So I drove down there and had a $100 bill with me. And I'm like, two tickets, please. And it was like $79.80 or whatever it was. And I'm just like, oh, and how much is a Twin Temple ticket? Thinking it would be too expensive and I wouldn't have enough money because I didn't have any other money except for the 100. And she's like, oh, it's $20. So I'm like, all right, I'll throw that on there too. So I got two Stiff Little Fingers and a Twin Temple ticket for $100.
No, I feel kind of good about this, Neil, because I've been saying for years, and you've been mocking me, openly mocking me, about how I go to Grand Rapids is a heck of a lot easier to navigate than Chicago, so I'll give Neil that.
Yeah.
And for him to drive to Reggie or something, it's a real pain in the dick. But I always go to the box office venues because I don't like to... Those fees are the most stupid thing, especially now. They're not even... Most places don't even print you a ticket. A lot of places, you got to go to the box office and they email you your tickets or whatever. I just bought my wife a bunch of tickets for freaking Wicked. And, you know, it's like I have $400 worth of email or a text ticket.
Right.
But no, I love that because, I love having tickets because I've got a buttload of them from going back to the 80s.
Agreed.
And I just, the fees are, it's just, no, the artist doesn't get them.
Right.
It's just a screw job.
Yeah,
so, anyway, I'm glad you're getting on board with that.
Well, again, Metro isn't that far.
Yeah.
So we actually drove down there on the way down to Duke of Perth.
Yeah.
Because it's just like 5 minutes from Duke of Perth. So we were driving down to Duke of Perth, and I said, stop us off at the box office, and I bought him. So anyway.
Best thing is, if you got like a driver, you just go around the block. You don't even have to park.
Right. That's true. So I get a Twin Temple ticket. So I was like, all right, so I guess I'm going to go. So Thursday night rolls around.
Wednesday.
No, it's Thursday.
Thursday was Drowned.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do anything Friday, that's right. Yeah, it was Wednesday, thank you.
It took Friday to recover.
So doors at 7, band at 8. So if you've ever been to a show at the Metro, normally people don't start showing up till 10 to 8, quarter
Chicago's
to 8.
Chicago's a big city town, and a lot of times they don't show up for the openers at all.
Or they don't show up for openers at all.
Yeah.
So normally if I get in at 7:15, 7:20, because I like seeing the openers, normally you're guaranteed of getting private.
Yeah, you like seeing the openers, it's the headliners you rarely make it through.
So, you know, I can guarantee normally I get my favorite spot, which is front left. Or if I want to go up on the balcony, I could do that. But, okay. So, the crowd for Twin Temple, one of the weirdest crowds I have ever seen at any gig in Chicago or anywhere. So, I get in at like 7:20. Park just down the side street, no problem at all. I get in. The place is three quarters full already.
Didn't it sell out?
Early that day they'd said it was
real close
to selling out. And I think it must have done, if not very close. So the place was at least half full, maybe three quarters full by the time I got in there at 7:20. So all my favorite places were taken already.
Don't they know you got seniority?
Right? I should have fucking just
In every way possible, right? I mean, was there anybody there your age?
Yeah, maybe, but they were wearing like satanic masks and stuff, so I don't know. It was tough to say. So on the whole, it was like there was a lot of like looked like eight because it was an all ages show. Looked like there was a lot of underage like overweight goth chicks that appeared to be the and that sounds bad, but that
don't
but it's true.
Body shame them,
I'm just saying.
All
right. Well, you know what? It's fine. They shouldn't be wearing fucking fishnet. I'm just all I'm saying. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. It was a very young crowd. Odd crowd, lots of goths. For some reason, lots of trans. Is transsexual what you can say these days?
I mean, it was good enough for Tim Curry in the.
that was a long.
He
time
was a
ago,
sweet transvestite from Transsexual Transylvania. Yeah, I don't know. And once again, I don't not know the terminology because I want to be a dick. I just don't keep up. I just can't. It's constantly changing. Don't ask.
Okay.
Don't ask. Don't tell.
So there was.
You gonna see if Laura knows what the current
yes,
term is?
Yes, I am. Because Laura will know.
What?
Laura, what's the current term instead of transsexual? Or is that a good term?
Seems like a good term for me.
Okay, there we go. I'm not offending anybody.
We have it. You heard it here first. Yes. Laura thinks it's good for her.
Yes. So, yeah, transsexual with lots of open the gay guys in dress. Well, what if gay guys in dresses? Would that be a transsexual too?
I think it's not. The two are not dependent on one another.
See, I thought one of them was wearing a cape.
See, now we're getting into the woods.
I think I texted you and said there's a dude wearing a cape.
Yes.
And it wasn't a cape. It was a dress.
Like a ball gown.
It was a dress he was wearing. But then it was...
You know, it's good that people have a place where they can let their freak flag fly without worrying about it, right?
Well, and there was... They probably
thought you were a narc. It's like, look at this normal looking white dude.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
He also got his sleeves rolled up so I can see his tattoos, so they don't think he's an undercover cop.
Drag people. What are they called?
Drag queens.
There was like drag queens in full makeup there too.
Boy, Chicago's so full of drag queens, my
it
friend.
It was a very, very odd crowd. There's stuff I've never seen before at any show. And like I said, there was guys in masks with horns and shit, and like little devil
they had
wings.
Like extras from Rosemary's Baby or something.
That's what it was like. It was a very odd crowd, right? So there was that. And in fact,
it makes you wonder if some people take, you know, because the band probably is doing it tongue in cheek, but are some people too dumb to know that?
Hopefully they're just having fun. Well, everyone seems to be having fun, apart from me. No.
I mean, great people watching, though.
So I get in there. Anyone that knows the Metro, there's a merch room right to the left of where you go in. And it's a pretty big, sized room, that merch room. So the line for merch, and this was at 7:20. The line for merch, there was an S formed inside the merch room. And then that line carried on up the stairs and all the way up to the balcony. There was probably 200 people in line for the merch. And this is at 7:20. I've never seen anything like it at Metro. And I've been going to Metro since the late 80s.
And some full shows.
Fucking mental, right?
That's weird. Some of these bands, I think, probably sell more merch than music, right?
Yeah.
Because the kids stream the music. They're not buying records, probably.
Well, how is this, though? So the ticket was $20. The t-shirts were $45. It just seems odd, so
they're woven with the blood of the singer.
I guess so anyway, that was weird. So I was kind of off. Oh, it was off-putting, so I was there by myself and I was almost like, well, maybe I'm just gonna leave,
yeah,
because this is not my crowd at all, but I'll stick it out and just see what it's like. So the first band comes on. They were a band. Oh no, Laura's going to be very jealous.
Just one opening band.
Yeah, the opening band was called Vows, V-O-W-W-S.
Yeah.
And a goth band from Australia, two piece, except they had a drummer as well, so I guess they were three piece. Very moody.
Two piece with a drummer, three piece.
Kind of like a
it's
moody.
It's a real difficult way to say that. Well, yeah. It's a trio, dude.
No, well, when they record an album, it's a two piece.
Oh.
But I guess live, they had a drummer.
I got you, right.
That's amazing.
Dark and gothy, like the dark Depeche Mode, but it's like, you know, and maybe I'm just too old for some of this shit, because it's just like, we get it, we get what you're going for.
You're sad.
You're sad, and you're doing this thing, because they didn't say a word in between songs for the first 25 minutes. They didn't say hello. They didn't say anything, and it's like, dude, it's just fucking.
There are some bands doing that style. I think doing it pretty well. It's not particularly original, but I think, you know, like I said, like anything else, if you do it well,
it's not even that though. I mean, you can introduce yourselves. We didn't know who the fucking band was. If I had to look it up on a ticket, I wouldn't even know who they were. You know what I mean?
I mean, they're going to go home and hang themselves anyway. What's the point of getting too attached to them?
They're Australians. They're going to get bitten by spiders and shit like that.
Kicked in the face by a kangaroo. Yeah.
So anyway, they played for about 30 minutes. They were fine. They wasn't bad. It was what it was, right?
Yeah.
It was like,
and a half hour, you can't hardly bitch, you know?
Right.
Knock it out, get done with it.
Dark Depression. And again, because it was an all-ages show and there's a lot of younger kids there, I think it was going to be done by 10 o'clock.
Hmm.
You know? Anyway.
That's good for you old folks, too.
So...
kids with school and old folks is good.
Yeah, it was excellent, actually. So behind the stage, they had a huge banner behind the stage. They got a full-on thing of like Satan as a with the goat head and the full thing. With the two people from Twin Temple.
Yeah.
It's basically it's a husband and wife. It's basically Twin Temple, right? He plays guitar and she sings.
Boy, isn't that nice though? They're Satanists, but they still appreciate the sanctity of marriage.
Yes, exactly.
It's important.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So, you know, the first band goes off, the second band, there's like nine people clearing the stage and getting the stage set ready. Because the way I described it to somebody on the next day was it was like Shanana meets dinner theater, like bad dinner theater. Because they come out, they got a table with goblets and shit, they got swords, they do a whole like Hail Satan thing at the beginning of the set where they like throw fake blood on the crowd and like raise their swords and shit.
That's why I asked you, it was like Gallagher where they hand out like plastic ponchos to people in the first four rows so they don't get watermelon guts on them.
Like I say, it was very dinner theater.
Huh.
But you know, the crowd.
But I mean, okay, so I think dinner theater, I think that's a negative connotation to me. That's sort of like cheesy.
That's the way I mean it.
Okay, right? Okay. All right, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
but enough. The people were lapping it up. The crowd was lapping it up.
They're like standing in the front row, like the blood rolled down their
and they were doing like Hail Satan, and everyone was going, Hail Satan, Hail Satan.
Meanwhile, these kids are afraid of their own fucking shadow, right. Most of them, right?
Yeah. They put on a great show for what they do.
So it's funny, because like I said, the dinner...
What the fuck?
Dinner theater says negative connotation, but you said it's a great show. So is that your door?
It's probably a delivery guy. Oh, Jesus, settle down.
Boy, that buzzer's off.
Yeah, I'm going to go fight somebody. We got Scott. This is going to be good on this podcast.
We'll roll Scott down the stairs like the Indiana Jones at the delivery guy.
Well, was like, oh, yeah, so I didn't know. Okay, so vocally, she sounds very much like Amy Winehouse.
Okay.
On record. So I didn't know if she was going to be able to pull it off live.
Maybe it is Amy Winehouse. Maybe she faked her own death and came back. And
yeah, this girl's clearly from L.A.
Yeah. Well, and the fact of the matter is, I suppose, yeah. Anyway.
But anyway, they pull it off. They pull it off beautifully. Mm. So they're wearing, like, matching outfits. And so the rest of the band, there's like four other people in the band, but they make those dress in black and stand at the back.
Oh, so they just like blend in?
Yeah.
So and she's wearing like red leather or something or what?
She's wearing a white, like a pinky white, like short dress. Mm. And he's wearing a matching, like almost like a Hank Williams suit.
Huh.
Like one of those Hank Williams suits.
Gotcha.
Yeah. With like writing down the sleeves. And they pull it off really well. She's got a great voice. He did it live. And she was very animated, very into the audience. The audience will lap it up, everything she was saying. He looks like Squiggy from fucking... what was that show? Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like Squiggy.
I had Happy Days. I made it to Happy Days. I wasn't quite there yet. I was one step off.
So, again, a great show, but it's, you know, it's 50s and 60s sounding. So I'm wondering what these kids are making of the music. You know what I mean? Hmm. Like the lyrics they were digging. Like Satanic Orgy and fucking, you know, Be a Slut, Black Magic, whatever the fuck it is. But you wouldn't know it unless you listen to the lyrics, you wouldn't know. It's just like a 60s girl group song.
Hmm.
But you wouldn't know and listen to, anyway. So I'm like, I was enjoying it, but I got it after 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And the new album, actually, the album just came out called God Is Dead. It's actually a really, really good album.
Did you buy the record?
I did. So, because that's the one thing I wanted to go down to the room for.
So that's the thing. The good thing of merch, if you're going to blast, usually you can always get merch in the middle of the set without having to wait.
And that's exactly what I did.
I've been known to do that because I had to go pee four or five times during the set anyway.
So that's exactly what I did too. I went downstairs, went to be. So I went again because it was a young crowd. If they saw me carrying beer, fucking bouncers were all over me. That I wasn't allowed to bring beer out to the merch room. I wasn't allowed to bring beer out to the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah. So,
oh, you're going to sell it to some miner who's going to chug your $11 beer bathroom?
I guess. I mean, they were really aggressive about it, too. I don't know what that was about.
Hmm.
But anyway, after about 45 minutes, I'd seen my favorite songs, the songs I wanted to see. I'd kind of had enough. So I wandered down to the merch room, bought my album, got it signed. That was cool. It was a signed record, I should say.
Hmm.
And went to the bathroom.
Don't tell Dr. Disc he'll want you to grab it.
No, I think he might not like it. He might not like this.
Yeah, but he likes signed records.
Yeah. But anyway, so and then I went to the bathroom, and then I was just like, yeah, you know what?
You were home in bed by
10:30. See you later. Yeah, I was home in bed by 10:30 or something like that. Yeah. So that was Twin Temple. I enjoyed it. Would I go see them again? No, I wouldn't. And the unfortunate thing is, I think they have, much like Masked Intruder did, I think they've really painted themselves into a corner with this. Hmm. So I don't know what else they can do with it.
Hmm.
Now, the crowd was pretty big. And obviously, if there's a line of people waiting to spend $45 on t-shirts, that's, I guess, they're doing well. but I just don't know where else they go with it.
There's so many different sex positions to have sex with the devil. You explore every single one. The concept album, it's just like the Kama Sutra.
I guess. I mean, maybe they'll do some other kind of music now. I don't know. I mean, didn't you say they were touring with Danzig?
Yeah, they were. We were supposed to see them with Danzig. They were going to be the second band on a 4-band bill with Danzig headlining at the Masonic in Detroit, which would have been cool because the Masonic is one of those theaters that has so much character. Like, that's where you want to see them. You don't want to see them in some generic place like the Bottom Lounge where it's just a big-ass brick box, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder, too, like you said before, I mean, how much of it is fake? How much of it is completely stage show? I mean, do they really think like this? Because they're all married.
Probably most of it.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking for an angle, right? But that's, like you say, that's the thing with the gimmicky bands is even if you have the chops, you got to figure out a way to
sell the stuff. Yeah. I mean, so I got the album inside the album, and there was like a, they've got like a playing card of them. I don't know. Some kind of, so they got this whole thing.
So what the record cost you? 30? 25?
The unsigned were 30. Ooh. Signed was 50.
Wow, you paid $50 for
it. I wanted it signed.
Wow.
I wanted to sign by those two because I don't know if I'll ever see.
Well, because we were talking about how the, even like at punk shows, the what records were used to be 20 are generally getting to be 25, yeah. 30 bucks. Like 30 bucks has kind of become the new, which, I don't know. I struggle with all this stuff because, you know, same thing when I was a kid, 7 inches were $3. Now they're $15. Like, ugh.
I mean, I thought it was cheap, to be honest, with t-shirts at 45.
That's insane,
I thought,
right?
The t-shirts,
the t-shirts are 100% profit. Records cost a hell of a lot more to make than
right.
t-shirts.
Right. That's what I was thinking too. And the t-shirts, which it could have been a metal t-shirt. It just has like the upside down crosses and shit.
Do you, off topic, but do you, when you went to shows, like when you were a kid, and you mostly went to punk shows, so you didn't go to a lot of bigger shows, but do you remember like the bootleggers outside like selling t-shirts out of their pants, or was that not a thing?
It was a thing, and in fact, I've got a Jam scarf.
Oh no shit, a bootleg.
Yeah, like a bootleg Jam scarf.
Because I haven't seen that for years and years, but we used to go to the big heavy metal shows and there'd be a guy out, $10, $10, and they'd always be a little off. It'd be like misspellings on them and stuff. And I need an extra large, he'd like reach down his ankle, he'd have like all of his and but with that Pantera show, like I had him laid out on the sidewalk selling bootleg t-shirts. I hadn't seen him for years. Wear it once, it just shrinks up.
But the funny thing is, some of the designs are better than the official designs inside the venue. I mean, that's the way. That's what I used to find, anyway.
But yeah, back in the day when they do the big tours, like the Panteras or whatever, yeah, these guys would travel from city to city selling bootleg t-shirts. So.
Like I say, yeah, that was the last one of the last times I saw the Jam. There was a guy selling t-shirts, but he was also selling these silk scarves. And I bought a scarf. I've still got it.
Look super macho running around in your Jam silk scarf.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't for wearing. It's for pretty much hanging. It's putting nails in it. Or something, pins in it.
Like
it says live in Liverpool. Liverpool, 1980 or whatever. But yeah, so that was my Wednesday Twin Temple. And oh shit, we've been going for fucking a long time.
Well, we've been tickling people's ass with a feather. You better let them hear this majestic sound that is Twin Temple.
So let's play. We've been going for 22 minutes. Let's play a Twin Temple song. I am going to play off the new album, which is called God Is Dead. I am going to play Be a Slut by Twin Temple.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Be a slut. Do what you want. Be a slut. What you want, be a slut. Do what you want, be a slut. What you want, be a slut. Do whatever you want. I got a glimmer soul cause I like getting hit. Come on baby, be my sucking best. I like performing hitches, I like a morning sex. Don't spare no gospel but it sure is. Spare my legs. What you are, be a slut. What you are, be a slut. Do what you want, be a slut. What you are, be a slut. Do whatever you want. I got a graveyard there, cause I'm always by your bed. I cast a spell when I come around. I wear the devil's crown, take off my velvet gown. Ride a seven-headed beast into town. Be a slut to what you are. Be a slut to what you are. Be a slut to what you want. Be a slut to what you are. Be a slut to whatever you want. S-L-U-T, that's what I'm gonna be.
Don't try to tell me what to do with my body. What you want, be sir. What you want, be sir. Do what you want, be sir. What you want, be a sir. Do whatever you want.
So yeah, I think Be a Slut There by Twin Temple. I think one of the reasons they're so big with the gay community and with that kind of community is just because they're very much free sex, love who you want, do what you want. Because that's a big Satanist thing, actually, is just be your own person. And
really, know. Really, what people call Satanism is generally just like more like a humanism. It's a branch of humanism, yeah. But yeah. It's yeah, some of them are stranger than others. But yeah, they don't actually worship devil; they worship self usually, right?
Right. Well, almost like a nature thing, right? Rather than kinda. This, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak for all Satanists. I'm sure there's some weird branches out there that are doing some wacky shit that's, you know, off the books, but...
I don't think Paul Fennig from the Meteors probably just kills people and eats them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, and like I was saying about the stage set they had, it would be like seeing the Misfits, I would imagine. Yeah. They had the light up, upside down crosses, and
looks like they hit Pink Floyd's Halloween garage sale.
Garage sale, yeah. Just or like, the Misfits well, garage well, sale.
Pink Floyd's Halloween
yeah.
shit.
Anyway, so that was that. That was Wednesday.
So I'm not super jealous of not having been able to go to that. I'm a little more jealous of your Thursday night.
Yep, Thursday was a good one. So Thursday, Grounds were playing at Reggie's. With Capcom Heroes and two other bands. And
who will not be named.
I've been looking forward to that one for a while.
Even though they didn't announce it way in advance. I mean, it was only like a month ago or
something. Yeah, yeah. Because obviously we're friendly with the Drowns. We've known them for a while.
Capcom Heroes a bonus. We're friendly with them too, of course.
Yeah, it was Capcom Heroes' first gig in months. Yeah. So that was good. So, and the cool thing about it was our friend Alan Doc Disc, who's been on the show numerous times, obviously, he arranged for the Drowns to go record shopping in the afternoon. He was going to pay for them to go record shopping.
So the first time we ever met Doctor, I don't know if it was the first time we ever met him, but he did that with us.
With Susie Moon.
No, he did it with us at Siren.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he took us.
Just
he took
the
us
two of us. Remember, the band came and played, and he did this for us too. And we just, spoiler alert, we just had lunch with Doctor Disc earlier. And,
today.
We a lot of records changed hands. It was a real. It's like a flea market, like a record flea market.
It really was. It looked kind of dodgy, actually. Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
We're all carrying around. I mean, I carried so many out. My shoulder hurt walking out of there. But Neil's abandoning me. I'm not sure where he's going. Neil, it's your story, buddy.
Sorry about that. I had to spit. Before I
was started right?
gargling on the microphone.
Before you start singing like Joe Keithley.
Doc Disc was. I picked out a record store called Rattleback. It's on Chicago's North Side in Andersonville, if anybody knows it. It's like about 4,000 North, maybe something like that. So good record store. I've been there a few times. We really like it, and I guess Alan contacted them, and they were really excited about hosting the band. So we were supposed to get there at 2:00. So I was going to leave my house at like 1:30 or something like that. And then Alan calls me and says the band's super early. They left there. They were playing Nebraska.
They came straight from Nebraska, yeah.
And they left at like 5 a.m. for fuck's sake. But they got their incident.
Well, they don't drink, you know. They're not party guys. That's true. As soon as the show's done, they're like, go hit the Comfort Inn. Yeah,
take a nap. So they got there like just a little after 1:00. So I suddenly had to throw my shit together and get down there. I was the last one there, as a matter of fact.
Did you wear sweatpants?
Luckily, I had my jeans on.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, just checking.
Not like some of the people at that show last night.
Exactly.
But we'll get to that later. So, yeah. So I get there, and the first person I see kneeling down, going through the bins, is Rev. And they recognized me immediately, which was awesome. So, those guys were digging in. I mean, buying shit tons of stuff. Andy was running around.
Alan gave them a good budget. Better budget than we had when he took us. So he might take us again.
Yeah. That's a good point. So the owner of the record store came running up to me immediately and just was like thanking me profusely for organizing.
And the Drowns did too. They thanked it for hooking it up, even though it's really Alan more than us.
Yeah, it was Alan. We're just lucky
to be friends with him.
All I did was suggest the store.
Yeah.
But the record owner, I think his name was Paul O'Brien. I apologize.
You're gonna miss it.
Paul, I think he was. He showed me the stock room in the back. He showed me, you know, what he just walked me around the record store and showed me everything. Super friendly. He was super friendly with the Drowns. They gave him some copies of the album, the splatter version, which he was sold out at Pirates Press. Cool. So they gave him some of those to sell. So if you're in the Chicago vicinity and you wanted a copy of the new Drowns album blacked out, they signed some copies. They did sign them. They got posters too, and I think
that's a hard one to sign, right? You got to have one of those silver pens because it's like a glossy black cover.
They brought silver, and they brought like a gold pen. Ooh. So they signed them, and they got all their 45s. They dropped off. Jake dropped the drummer. Dropped off all.
See, no, 45s. I should see. I don't have. There's a couple splits they put out that I don't have. I have some of them. I don't have all of them, so I'm actually wouldn't mind grabbing those.
At some point. I got a couple of those.
You didn't think of getting some for me though, did you? Man, everybody's so selfish in this world.
Alan gave them to me. Don't tell anybody.
I know. It's fine.
Your
secret's safe with me. I'll take you to the grave.
It was a really good record store. It was one of those ones though where I was so just overwhelmed because I was talking to the band and I was talking to this and talking to that.
Not because it was so big.
No, but they have a decent selection. Hmm. But I was just like I was busy talking to people, so it was like I can't concentrate. So I did just look at the 45 section there, punk 45 section. I got some really good stuff I've never seen before.
Used, new,
used. I assume. I mean, they have used.
I'm just kind of surprised there's old stuff you've never seen before in there. Or
they had a Lords of the New Church Flexi, which I'd never seen before. Hmm. They had.
We do love our Flexis.
I got a band from '77 called the Stukas, which I've never seen in the wild before.
Huh.
Old punk band. You'd heard
of them.
The Vapors, but it was a later Vapors single, not turning Japanese, obviously.
That's the only one I know. That's the only one I know.
Spiders. And then what else did I get? I got like 345s, and he gave me a really good price on them. And the band, it was a stack full of records. You've probably seen a photo of Rev holding up this stack of albums. Yeah, they were buying a lot of 60s and 70s stuff.
Hmm.
Glam and that stuff. Kind of thing. Yeah. Obviously, because that's the kind of thing Andy and
that's cool.
Andy and Rev are into.
I'm glad it went well. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Sounds like a good time.
It was. So we were in there probably an hour and a half, maybe. So we're getting out of there at 3:30. Hmm. And, of course, the show that night, doors were at 7, band at 8. So it's 3:30. Like, what the fuck are we going to do now? Because the band were driving down to the hotel to check in, right? And they were gonna load into Reggie's at 6. So we had, 2 hours basically to kill.
Hmm.
So Alan, we went. I was like, I'm thirsty after doing all this talking. So we went to a strange bar across the street, which I'd never been to before. Not exactly my kind of bar. Again, those transsexuals seem to be a common thread in this episode, but it was that kind of thing, and had a beer in there, and then we drove down to Reggie's. Alan drove, went down there, and got to Reggie's about 4, I guess, and just hung out in there
pretty early.
Yeah, had dinner, but
you were getting picked up, so you could drink.
Yeah, the Drowns showed up probably about 5.
Mm.
So it was cool. We were just hanging out with them. They came and sat at our table. They had something to eat. Mm. And, it was cool. There was a lot of back and forth, a lot of, conversation as they were bringing stuff in and setting up. And Capcom Heroes were playing, and they showed up eventually. So, a lot of backslapping with Joe and Jimmy and stuff. That was cool, too. And then two other guys showed up with the Drowns, who I guess one of the guys makes the Drowns guitar pedals.
Mm.
I can't remember what the name of the company was. Forgive me. I'll post it maybe at some point. But he showed up. He was super friendly with those guys too because they're sponsored by them now. They got a sponsorship with Marshall Amps.
Yep, that's big.
And I don't know if they got a guitar sponsorship. I don't think they do, but maybe they do. I don't remember.
I kind of doubt it because they all use different. I think Andy uses a Fender, right, and Rev uses Gibsons.
He was playing a big.
Like a hollow body, wasn't he?
It was, yeah. It wasn't a Gibson because he said what happens is every time, because they go to Europe a lot, they keep breaking their guitars. So he bought like some cheaper.
Or shipping them.
Some like $400 semi acoustic, which he plays, and that's his day to day player, I guess.
Or something. Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was that. Hanging out. First band, comes on. I'm thinking if I'm missing anything, but I don't think I am. I mean, Reggie's has got actually decent food.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. So they were playing the small side of Reggie's, if you know Reggie's at all. There's a small side and a big side. So they were playing the bar side. And at first, Alan's like, why are they playing the bar side? But it became obvious why they were playing the bar side later on. First band that came on, I think they were called Radar Waves. And they were just I think they were a three-piece, just kind of generic kind of rock band. They didn't fit at all. I mean, I think Reggie's just seems to book.
We've noticed that they have some weird combinations. But that being said, I mean, what the Drowns are doing now is really more rock and roll than punk, right?
Right. And we'll get to that in a minute. So, I mean, Radar Waves were fine because the guy was making fun of himself. The guitarist was making fun of himself, and the songs were short, and at least he only played for 20 minutes. So, you know, it wasn't my thing, but it wasn't insufferable.
Like the sound of your voice.
You son of a bitch. Get my cat back over here again.
Get his cat back over here and put his balls in my face.
Stick his balls in your face.
His empty sack.
Empty sack. Yeah. So Capcom Heroes were next. Now, Capcom Heroes really should have been support. They should have been
I kind of was not sure why that wasn't like that, but
anyway, they came on. They were really, really good. So they've been talking about your new album for two years.
I noticed they played a bunch of new stuff.
They played like three or four new songs, but they played like four or five songs, obviously from the album and the early singles and stuff. They played really, really well. I think Joe hadn't been practicing with them, or hadn't been out. They haven't done gigs a lot anyway because of Joe's job. But they were really tight. They were excellent. I had a really, really good time watching the Heroes, and they were good. The new songs sound promising.
Is the record, where are they at? I mean, is the record being pressed? Is it not that far yet?
Being recorded, I believe. Still being recorded. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, listen, they're not kids. What difference does it make, right? But I bet you they would like to get that out.
Yeah. I know they would like to get it
probably
out this year.
Probably working on the next one, right?
Yeah, they would like to get it out this year. I know that. But anyway, they were really good. And they played for probably 30 minutes, maybe. I recorded a lot of the set, actually. So.
Well, at one point you texted me and you said, hey, I think they're streaming it. And
They were streaming it.
So yeah. I don't have Twitch or anything. I don't think it's an app, right, or something. But I don't have it or anything, but I was able to pull it up on my laptop and you go to Reggie's and it has the shows.
Reggie's
Live. You
literally
just click right on there and it came up. So.
They seem to do that with a lot of their shows. They stream a lot of their shows.
It was funny because I clicked on it and it was... the fire department's not doing us any favors around here.
There's a hospital right here.
Oh, okay.
Right next door to my house.
Because Joe gave a shout out from the stage. He said, something about Neil. Punk till I die, motherfucker.
That's pretty funny. That was fucking awesome. Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah.
So.
So what was I saying about them? Yeah, they got a new album. Recording a new album. Hopefully it'll be out this year. Because some of the songs sound really solid. So
I heard a bunch of new songs. So
yeah, that'll be good. Like I say, I recorded some of it, so maybe I'll, with their permission, maybe I'll put some of it in one of the shows or something. They went off, and then this band called The Evictions came on. Oh, and by this time Mark had showed up. Mark Fraser from the DUIs.
Yeah.
From the drummer from the DUIs. I'll wait till the ambulance goes by. We got a lot of this.
Mark's a real good dude, and he's an escalator.
Escalator.
When he shows up, the drinking increases. Like, he's one of those, not that I'm not like that or Scott's not like that, we're all sort of escalators. We're easily escalated, maybe.
So you know what Reggie's is like, right? What the small side of Reggie's. So we were sitting at those tables, like right to the stage, right at the front, because we got there early, right? So it was pretty cool. I mean, we were right there.
Yeah. So did you sit when the band's playing?
For the two shitty bands, yes. Otherwise, I got up. This is The Evictions. I don't know how the fuck they got this gig. And they were very professional. They were very good musically, obviously. But it was like 70s cock rock. It was like really fucking weird. Every song had like a... One song had like a 5-minute bass solo. Every song had like a guitar solo in it. It was just weird. The guy was wearing... Like, bass player was wearing like a velour shirt. And was like on his knees and stuff playing his bass and pulling all kinds of shapes. And it just wasn't... It's like, this is a punk rock show. What? This was a terrible fucking booking. And they seemed to play forever.
It was probably like 35 minutes.
It probably was. But it felt like it was like 3 hours.
Because, I mean, what are the Drowns do? 45 minutes? I mean, they're not...
Probably.
Maybe they do an hour.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to throw a Capcom Heroes song in now before we get to the Drowns.
Yeah, let's...
So I'm going to play off their first album. Actually, it's the first song off their album. Last Call for Adderall. Last Call for Adderall. This is Capcom Heroes with Back It Up. from the fuckers. Capcom Heroes there with Back It Up off their
We're going to be in a real quandary album. Today, Neil, because our mothers probably told us when we were younger that if we didn't have anything nice to say, to not say anything at all. And some of the opening bands we've seen this weekend were not particularly enjoyable.
Oh, just wait till we get it to the fucking Bouncing Souls show. Fucking shit. So, yeah, the Evictions fucking... And there was another thing. The Evictions, they spent like 10 minutes tuning up and stuff like that and sound checking. It's like, what the fuck
are you doing? Yeah, rock stars, come on, let's go. Let's move this along. 15 you got 15 minutes from the time the last band starts, so you start playing.
We're on the small side at Reggie's in this tiny room. What the fuck are you doing? But anyway, so the Drowns come on and they did like a sound check in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, they're
just,
pros.
And just they're pros and they just fucking just jammed into it and they were just great. They, even though it wasn't a big crowd, probably 40 people maybe. Which is, again, why they didn't book him into the big room, which was a good decision.
I have to think that these guys keep working the way they're working, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, it has to. Otherwise, just be disappointed, right? Yeah. So, yeah, they're totally total professionals. They put on a great show. Rev always puts... actually, and Andy, too. I can't take anything from Andy. He's a fucking madman on stage. Hmm. You know, he's normally super mild-mannered, but once he gets on stage... He's like, he's fucking big and furious and just making, you know, diving into the crowd and shit. He's kind of crazy. The surprising thing about the set was they have the new album out, Blacked Out.
Yeah.
They only played 3 songs off of it.
Mm.
Like, I expected it was going to be heavily Blacked Out stuff. Mm. But there was more songs from...
So they only played 3. Do you remember which ones or not really?
They played Blacked Out. They played one of Andy's songs. I don't remember which one it was, to be honest.
Wheels, maybe?
No, it wasn't Wheels. It was one of. It was the other one.
Yobs on a Rampage, maybe?
No.
I don't have the list of names.
But anyway, so they played. They played a bunch of songs off Under Tension.
Hmm.
All the familiar ones you would know, like Rats and Black Lung and
Demons and
Yeah,
fast and all
exactly.
That.
Yeah, they played all of them.
I mean, that would make me very happy. Yeah.
So they played like 5 songs off of Under Tension. And they played a couple songs off the first record,
which I don't. It's a weird thing because I really like that band. I like the guys, but for some reason, I just never listened to that first record.
The first record's good.
I need to go back. I guess.
You still can't get it. Like even at the merch table, I was asking a drummer Jake about it, and he was like, "Yeah, it's still. You can get it in Europe.
It's on some weird label. Just
You can get it in Europe, but they're thinking about repressing it. So
that'd be cool.
But anyway, they played a couple songs off that too. So
maybe Pirates will repress it. Then you can actually get it.
Right.
Actually have some distribution.
So yeah, it was a very mixed set, but it was good. And they threw in Ballroom Blitz, obviously. Yeah,
that's cool.
They didn't play Dynamite, which I was disappointed by off the new record. But yeah, Ballroom Blitz was great as usual. And they did an encore. They finished off with a Cock Sparrow song. Did I tell you earlier? Fucking.
It was
Riot Squad.
Riot Squad. Yeah.
Riot Squad. They played Riot Squad by Cock Sparrow last. I think to the left of the stage there was Now they said they'd seen Bouncing Souls in their hotel, so they said 2 of the guys from Bouncing Souls were going to come. I don't think they came, but I think that someone from 99 Fingers Louie was in the audience.
88 Fingers.
88 Louie. Fingers Louie. Them too. And
99 Fingers Louie was a different band.
And who was that guy with the band that you like, the Irish band with the huge singer guy?
Oh, 556.
Yeah, he was there.
Oh yeah, you can't miss him. He's very large.
He was standing on the side.
He's
of the stage.
A super nice guy. He's sort of scary to talk to because he looks like he could just pick you up like a baby. He looks like he picked me up like a baby. And
no, that's difficult to do. Yes, boys and girls. That's difficult to do.
When they played in Logansport, when Matt happened in Logansport, Cheryl and I went down there, and some other friends of ours, and it was a really good time. And I talked to him. Like I said, super, but it's like my neck is going stiff. Looking up, talking to him.
So
and my wife took a picture. Yeah. My wife took a picture of us, and it literally, I just looked like a child.
Yeah.
Next to this guy. Yeah. But, yeah. I would say, maybe we'll get back to that later. Maybe we'll put a pin in this Flatfoot 56 story.
So. Yeah. There was kind of some semi-famous people in the crowd, I guess, apart from me getting called out from the stage. It was pretty cool.
Well, that's what, you know, Dr. Disc asked me, so was there, you know, the Bonds Social, was there a lot of, you know, B-level, you know, Chicago celebrities there? I'm like, I don't know if I'd even know them if I saw them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I said, Neil and I.
And I doubt if they were.
We're the B-level.
It was Z-level, but sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I don't think they would be, because normally if it was like Stiff Little Fingers, maybe you might see a Pizzati or someone like that there, maybe. Yeah. But I don't think Bouncing Souls, you know. Or maybe one of the bands that came late.
Well, and it was so packed, maybe. Too, so you couldn't even really... It wasn't like you could really move around and see the crowd either, so...
So anyway, the Drowns, at the end of the set, they were selling a lot of merch, which was great, because they were driving to Detroit the next night.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did, like I said, it wasn't a very big crowd for a Thursday night, I guess. But, you know, they put on a great show, and they sold a lot of merch. They were selling... They had posters specially made for the tour.
Which I see in your living room.
Yeah,
there.
I got one. I got him to sign it. The new guitarist is great. I think his name is...
Oh, Neil, stop. Boy. Stop. Stop trying to remember names.
Anyway, he's great. He looks like a younger kid, but apparently they told me he's older than the rest of the band.
Huh.
He used to play in a band with a guy from The Briefs, which is interesting.
With that thing... One of our friends occasionally shares our new episodes on Facebook or whatever when the new episodes come out, our Australian friend. And then one time he's like, Don and Phil have a nice conversation. He's talking about us. He posts our podcast.
Oh, yeah, Don and Phil.
Or whatever it was. I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm like, Matt, are you seeing other podcasts? Are you cheating on us? Are you getting us confused?
Yeah, sons of bitches,
You're
right?
Only allowed to listen to other podcasts if you have every single episode of ours caught up, which I think a lot of you do. So.
His name is Josh.
There you go.
So lucky I didn't call him Patrick, because his name is Josh. And he was in a band called Love Boomerang.
Oh, that's a terrible name for a band.
I'm sorry. The song is called Love Boomerang. The band is called Clean Lines.
The Drowns are a real upgrade from that.
Yeah. But anyway, he fits in really well.
Mike the Mailman reaching out to see how the show was last night.
Oh, okay. Good old Mikey. He fits in really well, this new guitarist. Now,
good.
I might have put him on the spot, because I asked Andy right in front of me, oh, the new guitarist is great. Is he permanent? And that might not have been a good thing to ask. I assume he's permanent.
It's kind of embarrassing,
yeah. That could have been.
Can he handle the gypsy lifestyle?
He seemed to be, though. He was fit. He was more fucking... He was more talkative than the last guitarist was, who I didn't get two words out of. So, I think he fits in really well, personally.
Good.
He, you know, he knows his place, and he does his thing. So, anyway.
He knows his place. Get in the back of the van and shut up.
Yeah. So, the show probably got done at 11. Laura came with. She had a great time. She had a fucking great time. But apart from the fact that... Laura, are you listening?
She's not here at the moment, but I suspect Laura enjoys the socializing more than the music sometimes.
She called him. She keeps
calling. She sits in here and talk to you all the time. She likes to get out and talk to other more interesting people.
She keeps calling them the Drones. I'm like, that's not the name of the band. The name of the band is the Drowns, not the Drones.
Yeah, whatever. The guy who hasn't gotten one name right all night.
Yes, Patrick or Paul or Josh, maybe.
Yeah, I'm bummed out. I keep missing these guys. I gotta correct that one of these days. So
no, they're a lot of fun live. Yeah. I said my goodbyes. There was the two. I don't want to go into this too much, but the two pedal guys. One of them got really, really drunk and kept referring to me as Alan White, the guitarist from Morrissey's band. I don't know why he kept saying that, but he was insistent that I was Alan White. Which was a bit weird, but anyway, there we go. He was infatuated with the fact that I had a Morrissey tattoo. He seemed to think that was the coolest thing ever. So,
Some people are so easily impressed.
Well, then he goes, "Do you have a Joe Strummer tattoo?" And of course, I do. So then he was even doubly impressed. Yes.
Glad you didn't show him your full Glenn Danzig back piece.
I showed that off at Twin Temple the night before, but the goth girls weren't impressed.
No. They don't. They're too young. They don't even know who the true Dark Lord is.
Yeah. Oh, I guess Twin Temple toured with Ghost as well, which I don't even know.
But like I said, they actually toured with Danzig. He probably had a thing for the woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, they seem to be pretty married.
Horny grandpa. He should be president.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he probably doesn't have him on in tours anymore, because he's turned him down.
He's got the libido of a Donald Trump and the black hair of a Gary Newman.
Yeah, that's true, man. Poor little Gary.
Yeah. Hmm. So you're going to play a drone song or what?
Yeah, I'm going to play the title track from the new record, which is called Tom.
Blacked Out.
There you go. You almost blacked out right there. I saw you do it. All right, yeah, Blacked Out by the Drones coming at you. With the title track from the new record, Blacked Out, which is available on Pirates Press. And if you're in the Chicagoland area, go to Rattleback Records in Andersonville on Clark Street and pick up one of the super limited Splatter, which was sold out on Pirates Press a long time ago.
So now we have to decide. We have to decide where we're going to pivot here. Do we want to get into the Bouncing Souls show yesterday? Or do we want to talk about the show I went to on Friday, and then we can do the Bouncing Souls after I've seen both nights and I've seen the other show?
Let's do that. That makes sense, even though I might have a very different take than the Bouncing Souls. I think we're pretty much on the same page.
We're gonna tickle your ass with a feather, and we're not gonna play the Bouncing Souls, or we're not gonna talk about the Bouncing Souls right now. That was and the fact of the matter is, I know we've got some strong opinions about it right now, and it might even be good to let it air out a few days before we get.
That's you might air it out. I've got no problem going off on fucking Blind Adam
making friends and influencing people.
Give a fuck.
So before we I'm going to four shows in 4 days. You mentioned we went to the Tossers on Friday, which we see them every year and we like them, but we're kind of thinking about skipping this year. I think I told you I'm having the tax man has come for me.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, maybe we'll skip it this year. But Scott and our wives got together and said, hey, why aren't we going to this? And I said, all right, we'll go. So we went.
Give a little background on who the Tossers are.
They're Chicago. They're like Chicago's Dropkick Murphys, I would guess. Though not as punk, honestly, more like folk. They're definitely like a traditional folk Irish folk band, but with a ton of attitude.
So coming,
kind of like the
so,
Shane McGowan thing, you know, I'd say that would be the biggest. The Pogues would be the biggest. Yeah. The Pogues didn't have like ripping electric guitar. I would say it's that would be the best reference point.
So coming up to St. Patrick's Day, obviously there's all anyone.
They
with
wake
any
them up from their
of,
graves. Yeah, yes,
the green in graves.
March, yes,
and wake them up, and they come out and with their fucking mandolins in hand. And
yes, he plays the main guy, Tony Duggins, plays like a banjo mandolin.
Sounds like beats fucking on hell thing. On earth. Personally,
well, it's funny. Like I said, they're very good. They every year, last few years. Oh, good, thanks.
Sure.
The first few. So what they do basically, they do a week or two of touring leading up to their big show at the Metro in Chicago, which draws a ton of people. But the last couple of years, they've been starting the tour in Grand Rapids at the little Tip Top, which is one of my favorite local venues,
which we've talked about many times yes. on the show. And, Tip Top I've only been to it. I've only been seeing a show there once, but I've been to it two or three times, and it's a great little. It's the kind of venue every city should have.
It's a little. It's really more of a like a like the owner was always a big rockabilly guy in the scene, even though he's punk friendly, and you know they don't really have a lot of like tons of metal there, but they have you know it's pretty variety.
Look, I'm Irish.
Exactly.
Put a little hat on.
Lots of variety of, but anyway, he's a good dude. He's got like I say, he's got a lot of credibility with me in the scene. He's been around longer than I have, The funny thing is, I think I mentioned this before on the podcast. The Capgun Heroes old drummer moved over by me.
Yeah, that's weird, right? So he said he was moving to Michigan.
Yeah,
not only to Michigan, he moved to Tom's fucking little tiny town.
The tiny town that I live in. Yeah. Like, what are the odds?
Weird,
right?
Is that? And I think it's because he loves the podcast. I think that's what it is.
I don't think he's a regular listener. I don't get the impression.
Son of a bitch.
But
what's his name? Scotty Two Balls?
His name is Scotty Lars. Scotty Larson.
Yeah,
Scotty
that's
Lars.
His name, right? See?
Well, it's funny. So we've been texting back and forth that we hadn't gotten together yet. And there's a local bar that we both like that you've been there, the Southside in Coopersville.
There's three bars.
It's like, we got to go play Music Bingo or whatever. And I said, oh, I just threw it out there. I said, oh, by the way, we're going to see this show Friday night. And he's like, oh, I'll check with my wife and see if she wants to go. I'm like, oh, cool, man. So they kind of, we actually met them out there. And yeah, the drinks were flowing. It was one of those. The way it works with us is my wife and I go out drinking, and usually she has like two drinks and she's good to go. But there's occasionally the moment where we're drinking along, and I look at her and I go, she is beating me here. She is beating me in the race. So I quit drinking. And it's fine. She needs a night out too to relax.
I thought you were going to say you started matching.
No. I said, that's it. I'll drive tonight. So it was no big deal. But yeah. But we had a real good time. It was real nice catching up with Scott and his wife, and our wives kind of hit it off. I think we'd definitely
that's good.
Hang on the future. So yeah. it was fun.
Now you said he's more of a metalhead, right?
Oh, he's a huge metalhead. Send me these death metal songs and stuff, and he'll like it in Grand Rapids because Grand Rapids is a big metal town.
See, that's so funny that he was in the Capgun Heroes, but I guess
yeah, that's kind of what I thought too, because I think that's he kind of said that was like the only like that was how he got into that kind of music, like he didn't really know that kind of.
So I guess, but I guess drummers do that, right? They can play
and I don't know if he's gonna. I don't know if he's still. I didn't really ask him if he was still planning to play or not. I don't know.
Well, they'll
it's hard
no
to start
shortage.
Over. It's not easy for 50-year-old guys to start over making bands, you know?
Yeah, but like every band is looking for a drummer, right?
Yeah,
that's not difficult if you're a drummer.
But he's got a couple teenage boys that are a big pain in his ass like the rest of us. At one point, he took a phone call and his mood just changed dramatically. I'm like, oh, those kids are pissing him off. Are pissing him off.
Yep.
But no, we had a real good time last year when we went and saw the Tossers. So they drink like fish. I mean, they're just, I don't know if all of them do, but the main guy, he gets wrecked. A lot of times.
So are they Irish or are they just Chicago Irish?
I mean, it is Chicago Irish, I think. I mean,
is the guy playing bagpipes?
No. But I mean, he speaks like the old language. Like, he'll sing some of the songs in the old language, which I thought, Irish spoke English, but...
Or at least you think he is. He could just be fucking drunk, speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they do a few standards. They did like Rocky Road to Dublin and, you know, Dirty Old Town, stuff like that. And they have a lot of good original songs about Chicago and... You know, Patty on the Railway, songs about the Irishman building the railroad.
That's another
folk
song. Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good show. Last year, they just wouldn't let him quit playing. The Tip Top is a weird place, right? It's a little tiny place. There's no other bars around. It's in a residential neighborhood, kind of.
It is, yeah.
And they get noise complaints and stuff. But they this guy who MCs there... His name is Farmer John. Was Farmer John there when you went to the show with me? So he literally is wearing this big white cowboy hat. He's, you know, got sideburns, and he wears denim overalls.
Denim overalls, yep.
That's his look.
Yep.
And he announces the bands. I don't know if he gets paid or if he just hangs out there or what. I think his original...
Retarded?
I don't think he's retarded, no. Not allowed to say retarded anymore, but no, he's not. He's just a farmer, Neil. But he originally the connection I believe was that he was growing. It was his. It was so his.
What? Is he retarded?
I don't know if he's retarded, but he's slow.
Slow.
Well, I think the connection is his beef farm. They were buying the burger from his farm, and he just hangs out there and he announces the bands. And you know, he does the typical. Don't forget to tip your waitress and bartender. And then when the bands are done, he always goes up there and like tries to get the crowd to make him do an encore.
Oh, wow.
So last year, they just kept doing it, and they just kept playing, and it just was a drunken disaster. Like, when we left, we're like, all right, that's enough. That's enough already. He's embarrassing himself. It was terrible. This year, they didn't do that. It was much tighter. Came out and did a couple song encore, and it was really good. I mean, they're a great live band. Like I said, due to the fact that we were with some people we didn't know real well, there was a lot of yakking going on.
Now,
I totally missed
the
first
down?
Band. What was the name of that first band, Scott? You remember? He had a big old redheaded woman singing for him. You look like real Irish.
Ginger Minge.
A lot of potatoes.
Like,
Belfast something, right?
Yeah.
Belfast Gin. Belfast Gin. My wife loved him. I literally was just talking to the dude the whole time. I didn't even hear him play. Scotty said, how's the opening back? I said, I don't know. I saw a picture of them. They got a couple of good-sized redheaded women in it. He's like, yeah.
No, you were all excited? Yeah, baby.
So anyway, yeah, it was...
Belfast Gin from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Like I said, everybody else was impressed. I was talking the whole time, which is obnoxious, I know. Especially in a bar that small, the band could practically hear you. But, yeah, there was drinks were flowing pretty good until I decided that my wife wasn't going to be driving home.
Now, what's she drinking?
Like Captain and Diet or something. I don't remember.
Oh, boy, those are some
drinks. She drinks drinks, yeah.
Those are some faces made for radio right there. Jesus Christ. Good Lord.
I guess I won't play one of their songs, huh?
Good Lord.
But yeah, it was a good time. But then we made the bad decision, or I made the bad decision, or the good decision. I don't know. There's still a couple bars in Grand Rapids, and I don't know if they have them in the city anymore. They'd probably be out in like Des Plaines or places like that, where you go into the bar and they have like a bar band there for the weekend that just plays covers, like three or four sets of covers, and you just sit there.
That's pretty much
a suburban thing,
right? Yeah.
Well, there's still a bar in GR. It's a neighborhood bar, definitely. It's kind of a... It's definitely a dive bar, I would say, but they're friendly enough, and it's a neighborhood bar. So after that, we went over there and watched the band play some Judas Priest and
AC/DC awesome. Which bar was that? Have I been to it?
No, it's called River City Saloon. It's all right. I don't mind going there. Honestly, it's good. The drinks are cheap, and it's you know, they take care of you. It's pretty good. So yeah, we were out. So we did not leave there until the band finished at 1:00.
Oh fuck me!
Went home at 1:30. I'm like, because our local bars, that's Friday.
Oh, it was Friday. Okay.
Our local bars are only open till like they barely stay open till midnight on the weekends. It's sad.
Well, that is it because there's no the customers have all left, or do they kick people out?
You know, when we were young, we closed the bars down. The kids don't do that anymore.
Right.
Matter of fact, we're usually the last ones there. We're 50-year-olds. You know, which. I'm not sad that my kids aren't pissing away all their money at the bar like I did when I was that age. But
well, you want them to be socializing.
But there's no bar culture. It's just not a thing anymore.
I mean, socializing is important.
It is. It is.
I mean, it is. And it's kind of sad that it doesn't seem to happen anymore. Like, I wonder if kids at work are getting laid.
They're playing video games. They're smoking weed. They're doing... It's just a different... You know, it's not the same as
when so they're not talking to other human beings.
Sure they are. They're texting. They probably talk to more people over the course of the day than we do, just not face to face, you know?
Yeah, but they could be pretending to be 12-year-old boys.
I would struggle. Maybe I wouldn't. I don't know. Being single right now.
Yeah.
Because
it's a difficult
thing.
The
way we met girls was you went to a bar or whatever and you meet women, and now it's all these dating apps and all this.
You give somebody the eye and you give them an English accent, and
pretty much,
next thing
pretty
you know,
much.
It's all good.
You buy them a drink and they throw it in your face and they guzzle it down, and you got some idea where it's going from there. Or even, you know, I mean, we meet girls at school. You know, you said they're in school. These kids don't even go to school anymore. They go to college in their own freaking bed.
Right.
So I don't know. Wow. It's a weird world. So. But yeah, that was my Friday, my first of 4 days of shows. Like I said, we're gonna pick up. Next time, we're going to talk...
Do you want to play a Tosser song? Or do you want to play a Belfast Gin song?
We can play a Tosser song.
Because we've only played three. We've only played
we
three
played,
songs.
We can play so a far. Tosser song, a real rowdy one.
Okay.
It's called Good Morning Da.
Good Morning Da. Okay, so we have...
Da is Irish for dad, I guess.
It is. Yes, indeed it is.
Really, it's just lazy. It's just not pronouncing the second D.
Well, they're kind of mental. They're kind of slow, the Irish, to be honest, you know?
You know,
like you had Polish jokes over here, we had Irish jokes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, you were closer to Poland than we are.
Well, closer to Ireland than Poland. Sorry. But when you were Polish people, you had bad dress sense. That's it.
There you go.
Okay, so the Tossers with Good Morning Da.
Well, good morning, darling. I'm in jail. Don't need you to arrive or bail. If I know Marsh, he'll scream and wail. So just lock me up and throw away the key. Well, goodbye to my own Dublin dear. And goodbye to all the St. Bridget's there. But I was the moralist, but now I've got it like a flu. I'm fucking useless. What's the point of impressing you? Well, good morning, darling. I'm in jail. I don't need you to arrive or bail. If I know scream and wild, so I just locked me up and drove away the key. Put it on me 15 pints, but I could not see. But no doubt, Skype's got a hold of me. Well, I can tell you it was the whiskey, but that it may not be. It's just a prospect here of something I'll stick to. Well, good morning, darling, I'm in jail. Don't need you to survive or fail. If I know my ship, scream and wild, so I just locked me up and drove away the key.
So the Tossers back in the day were on Victory Records, the big label.
Out of Chicago. Yeah,
which they were kind of an outlier, right? Because the rest of them were all mostly hardcore bands, honestly. And they actually revived some old hardcore bands and stuff. Like, I didn't have a big problem with Victory, but I think that he had kind of a reputation of A, just suing the shit out of anybody who broached contract with him,
right,
and
not paying,
not letting people out. Yeah, maybe not paying. I don't know. He sold out now. That Tony Victory is
They sold the whole thing.
I don't know what
he's
doing, but he made a buttload of money when he sold the place. But now they put their last record, they put it out themselves. Their LP sitting on the merch table.
Oh.
T-shirts, $20. Guess how much for their LP? They put it out themselves.
$40.
Jesus. Yeah, I did not buy it. I'm struggling with that. Yeah, I'm struggling with that. God bless yous. God bless yous all.
$40.
Yeah, so I did not buy it. My wife was trying to talk me into a T-shirt, but I'm like, I have so many T-shirts I don't wear now.
So, okay, yeah, well, that's true. Well, so did they say, okay, so signed albums. So, I get it. A lot of people could care less about autographs.
If I want a signed album, I'm going to get them to sign the album. I don't know. Buying this pre-signed albums, I don't know about that, man. It kind of takes the sport out of it.
But again, though, if you're paying $40 for an album, at least the band could take the fucking 5 minutes and sign the thing.
The people in the band who have no idea who they are.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're buying the album, I assume it's because you like the band, right?
I mean, I've done that before. You know, when we went and saw Channel 3, and it's not to get the other guys, nothing against the other guys in the band, because they're well-known, the drummers from Lower Class Brats, and I can't remember the bass player. I mean, they're established guys. But I only had Mike and Kim sign.
Mike and Kim. Yeah. Well, those are the two that you want.
They're the ones they played on every song.
Yeah,
it has nothing against the other guys.
Yeah.
But, I have been in that moment where everybody's standing around. You have to have all the band guys sign it, and you really only want, like, the...
Dude, the worst.
I got that Electric Frankenstein thing. I got every guy in the new band, but really the two brothers are the only OGs from the... But it's cool. They were very generous and actually went out of their way to make sure I got them all, but I probably would have been okay with just the two brothers, but that's all right.
Dude, the worst was at that Black Flag Dickies TSOL show when you could buy the Dickies signed posters of the event.
Yeah.
You know, for like $20-$30, whatever it was. And I went and bought one of the signed ones. And the two guys from fucking Total Chaos were standing there. Was it Total Chaos? Who was that first band that came on?
Oh, yeah, Total Chaos.
Total Chaos. And they were standing there, and they're like, do you want us to sign it too? And I was like, I guess so. So I've got two fucking losers from Total Chaos on my record, on my fucking poster too.
Total Chaos is supposed to open for Exploited when they come back.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, do they have a Chicago show?
I don't believe so.
Well, maybe Riotfest.
Hmm.
Because I think it's September.
Yeah, maybe
I think
it's
September
Fest. That's probably exactly what it is.
I mean, how many times am I going to let them kick me in the sack before I quit trying? Like, you know, I got canceled last year, and I get it. Lemmy. Waddy thought he had cancer. Lemmy probably has cancer, too.
In his corpse is
because
he got cancer.
But it's just like, you know, it's like, why are we doing this? Why, if, at this point, why not book the tour a month in advance or something? Or, you know, not 6 months down the road, but I'm gonna try again.
I don't know who is any of the original members in it except for Waddy these days, or semi-original.
So. But even by the third album, there was nobody left.
That's true.
Was there?
Yeah, that might be true.
Well, and wasn't the drummer's brother? Wolf?
Yeah, his drummer.
But he's not with him anymore.
He's not with him. He lost his.
Not only is he not with him, but he like hijacked the exploited account or something. Like this is not good.
Yeah.
But once again, you know.
Well, it's because of it being exploited.
They're playing 300 person place in Detroit. It'll sell out. But. I mean, they can't be. They're not wealthy guys. They're just busting their ass to make a living. And at this point, is Waddy cutting everybody in the same, or is Waddy get half in the other band? I don't know how it works.
They get 10. It's just like fucking Richie Ramone. They would just pay him $20 a show. No, but dude, I don't get it. And this
$10 per diem, so you get McDonald's.
This is a bigger thing, but I don't get it. How the Exploited, I mean, like them or dislike them, they're a legendary band, been going for 40 fucking years or whatever.
Even though they play ski metal now.
They play 300 person shows, and fucking MXPX or somebody is playing, like 1,000. Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense. We talked that about Motorhead too, you know? Motorhead, everybody loved Motorhead, everybody loves Lemmy. Well, you didn't go see him.
The Ramones too.
Yeah, Ramones. Ramones weren't playing hockey rinks,
right?
Well, maybe in their prime, but they're playing theaters.
And they end up warming up for fucking White Zombie or something.
Yeah, that was at a hockey rink.
Yeah,
albeit a small hockey rink.
Ludicrous.
Yeah. So anyway, when you come back, when we join you again.
Yes, when we join you again, we will talk about my Saturday adventure, and then Tom's Saturday, Sunday, Monday adventure because he's got fucking. Gigs are plenty, and the funny thing is, they're all completely different. From like Irish to 90s punk to techno futuristic.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, on a normal year, Guar's playing on Wednesday with the Cancer Bats and ex-cops. In a normal year, I'd probably try to go to that too, but I'm going to need some rest.
Is our boy still in Guar?
Todd Evans? No, he's been for years. It's like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Municipal. What was his? Death Camp? Mobile Death Camp.
Yeah, that
was his band, right? Yeah.
No, the whole band is pretty much turned over, I think, too. But they're one where, like, who cares? It kind of doesn't matter. If they have a good story and they have some good songs, it really doesn't matter who's playing, right?
Oh, Guar, because they have those big masks on?
Rubber masks.
Yeah, you wouldn't fucking know. Yeah.
So.
Where are they playing?
Intersection. The big room. Gary Newman is playing in the medium room, which is like 800. I don't know if that'll sell well or not.
Dude, I think you'll have a lot of fun.
I think I will too.
I would come into town for that, to be honest.
I've seen a lot of...
If it wasn't a Monday.
These shows are so hit and miss. Like, Scott and I went and saw Soul Asylum, who had a platinum record.
Yeah, they did.
They sold a ton of records. That was a couple hundred. And they had Local H opening for them, a great Chicago suburban band. Not that great, actually, but Local H, a two-piece.
Oh, yeah, the ones we saw at the parking lot show.
So we saw, and there was maybe a couple hundred people there. I wouldn't say it was embarrassing, but it was getting there.
Yeah,
and they were a platinum act. And they got the core of their band is intact.
I mean, late 80s, Soul Asylum.
Yeah, mid-90s they were huge. Massive. Yeah, mid-90s, I would say.
See, they were still on
Runaway Train, like 93.
Runaway Train was,
93,
yeah.
Maybe? Yeah.
See, I thought I was still down in Champagne and I left Champagne 89.
No, they were around at that point, but they weren't big. It was after, like, Nirvana and all that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
That Grave Dancers Union, I want to say, is 93, 94. Oh, here we are Googling.
92.
All right. So you were still gone from Champagne, right? Or were you still
I was gone. So that's a surprise, though, because I remember having that record.
That grunge, the whole grunge scene happened so fast, you know, because it's like, okay, 91 it broke. I mean, I know Mudhoney was before that, and there was, you know, Screaming Trees and some other stuff, but 91 it basically broke, and then by 94 it was Weezer. You know what I mean? It just really was, and I shouldn't even say that, because Weezer isn't the worst of it. You know, and then it's Third Eye Blind and all this horrible horse shit. Next thing you know, it's Hootie and the Blowfish is alternative.
Man, Grave Dancers Union was their sixth album.
That's a great album, too.
But that one,
it really holds up.
The sixth? I thought it was like the first or second. It was the sixth. Mm. Jesus.
Yeah, they were on that same label that the Replacements were on.
They were from Minneapolis as well, right?
Twin Tone.
Yeah.
Well, we're a long ways away. Well, that's it. We wandered a long way from our original path. Anyway, so punktodie77@gmail.com. We didn't do a proper introduction, but that's okay. We don't need one. We become too much creatures of habit. I think it's okay for us.
Well, it's very unusual for us to actually be doing it in person across a table from each other.
Yeah, and we should do it more often like this because it is kind of fun.
Yeah. So in the summer, we'll definitely have to get together more.
Yeah.
So we will reconvene in a little bit. and talk about. I hung out with those guys on Saturday and went to see Bouncing Souls. It's Sunday afternoon now. We hung out in the afternoon and they're going to see Bouncing Souls tonight. I am not. And Tom's driving back tomorrow and go to see. Hey, Scott, are you going to see Gary Numan as well?
What is that?
Are you going to see Gary Numan tomorrow?
I undecided at this point.
Okay. So they're going to see Gary Numan tomorrow anyway. So that should be an interesting show.
I'm wiped out after several days, you know? We'll see.
It'll probably be a pretty early show, I would imagine.
I noticed they didn't add a local opener, which kind of surprised me because I know there's one that would just be perfect for it. But that being said, I'm not sad either because, you know, we'll be done by 10:30. I hope he doesn't do like a 2.5-hour show or something.
I don't think so. I think it'll be the hits. Get in, get out, do the hits.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Like I said, I wish it was the whole Ministry package.
Now, one you look out for, the soul. I mean, Gary Numan has some rabid, crazy-ass fans who dress up as him and shit like that. Right. So I want you to look out for any like Gary Numan clones.
So I guess I'd rather have Gary Numan clothes than the massive amounts of ladyboys we've been seeing here. And unlike our friends in Doc Rodden, there have been no happy endings, Neil.
No happy endings at all. Yes.
So anyway.
Well, here's a happy ending to the podcast.
We'll call this a happy ending. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Stay free. And
leave a little mark in your heart.
Leave a little marky in your hearty.
We'll smell you later.
Smell you later. Bye-bye, everybody.
Ready, Jay?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah.
Susie?
Okay.
With our right friends, let's go!
It's been getting so hard living with the things you did to me. My dreams are getting so strange. I'd like to tell you everything I see.
The man in the back, as a matter of fact, and his eyes are as red as the sun. And the girl in the corner that no one ignores, cause she thinks she's the passionate one.
Oh yeah! Music was something, and they all started whooping. And the man in the back said, everyone attack, and they turned into a ballroom blitz. And the girl in the corner said, boy, oh, I want it, and they'll turn into a ballroom blitz. Ballroom blitz. Ballroom blitz. Ballroom blitz. Ballroom blitz.
Something, touching nothing's all I ever do. Uh-huh. Oh, I softly call you over, and you appear, there's nothing left of you. Oh no.
When the man in the back is ready to crack as he raises his hand to the sky, and the girl in the corner is everyone's mortar, she can kill you with a wink of her eye.
Whoa, yeah, was the electric. And the band started leaving, cause they all stopped breathing. And the man in the back said, everyone attack, and it turned into a ballroom blitz. And the girl in the corner said, boy, I wanna warn you, it turned into a ballroom blitz. Ballroom blitz.
It's a ballroom blitz. Okay, that brings us to the end of another show. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, keep a little mark in your heart, and we'll be back the same mark time, same mark channel.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated? Good night.
What a fucking rotter.
What a load of old shit.
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom.